And Holy Spirit, we're praying right now that you're stirring in the hearts of people would be beyond the circumstances that they're experiencing, would be beyond the annoyance that they have to deal with daily, would be beyond the irritants that the enemy sends in our lives. We're now saying we will focus on you. Our glance would be totally on you. Our hearts would empty of everything else so we can be filled with your presence. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray all of that. Amen. Amen. What I have entitled this sermon today is this: the supernatural is normative for the 21st century believers. Any takers on that name? The supernatural is normative for the 21st century believer. That's you and me. The supernatural is normative for our Father's house. Amen. Amen. Well, let me tell you, I know. We will experience that today. The Lord will show up. He has shown up. He will show up. He will continue to work on your hearts today. And we will encounter the supernatural. I want to remind you that our service actually consists of two components now. You come for the directed prayer at 9:45. By the way, the prayer is truly for everybody. So we can all come into the presence of the Lord, condition our hearts for what he has to offer this morning for us. And then we enter into worship. And then we enter into the Word of God. And by about 11:30, we are done with preaching and teaching the Word. But at 10:40, the second portion of this service begins. And it's a very important portion because you take an active part in it. It is those connection groups that you're going to be joining at 11:40. You can find them around here and upstairs. There are a couple of rooms open for you. This is where you would begin to interact with the body on the topic that the Lord has brought to your attention this morning. So I want to encourage you to plan to stay for an additional hour. We only stay until 12:40 for an additional hour where we can discuss what the Lord has laid on our hearts, that hook that he has placed there, and he is really impressing on us today. So I'm excited to visit some of those connection groups and really hear what the Lord has laid on your heart as the word is being taught this morning. I know you're hearing the things that the Holy Spirit has for you specifically. So in connection to that expectation for you to really join the connection groups, I want to ask you to get your sheets. You know, they should be in the bulletin. You know, yes. Tim, can you please wave that so everybody sees? Okay, right here, you guys can jot down your notes. It's on the side of your bulletin. Prepare it because I'm going to ask you a question. I would like for you to write down the answer. All right? So all of you ready with your note-taking? Okay. My question to you is, to score yourself on a level of 0 to 10, answer this question. What is your personal anticipation level for the supernatural power of God to manifest itself among us this morning? Not in the future, not when you leave those walls, you know, just this morning. What is your personal anticipation level? What is your faith level that God would miraculously work among us this morning as we have gathered together as a corporate body? Please score yourself 0 to 10. I will not ask you to publicly share that unless you want to share it after that with the connection groups. But I would really like for you to look at what you're going to jot down this morning before we begin to teach the word. And I'd like to know maybe next week, as you begin to practice some of the principles that we're going to share today, if maybe your anticipation level will change. And maybe then you would want to share in your connection groups. We will start today with John chapter 14, verses 6 to 17. And I'd like for you to take your Bibles. Again, get all of your electronic devices that have a Bible version on it. I like to read from NIV unless I pull a message on you. But I'll be reading from the NIV. You can read from wherever you want. If you have your Bibles, please take them out. Sometimes the Lord downloads things that you want to jot down in the margins of your Bible. So here we go. The text we will look at today is John 14, verses 6 to 17. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." By the way, Jesus is talking to his disciples, people that knew him intimately. All right? One of his disciples, Philip, says this to Jesus. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, kind of really offended, I believe, reading the language, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are definitely not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than this because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father," and look at that, "and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." Wow. This is definitely an amen scripture. This scripture, written 2,000 years ago, addressed to the disciples, to the Christ followers in first century Christianity, applies to the Christ followers in 21st century Christianity just as well. He's not saying the first century Christianity were somewhat better than you are. They followed me in a different manner and fashion. And for that reason, I said to them, those that have faith in me will do what I have done even greater than those things. On the contrary, Philip actually looks at Jesus and says, "Oh, you know what? I know you're talking about this father-son relationship you have and all of that. And yeah, we've seen the Father, you say, through. But now, wait a minute. Just show us the Father." He was really far away from understanding the depth of knowledge. What does that mean to have a relationship between a divine maker and somebody that walked on this earth as a historical figure in a physical manner? Philip really couldn't quite understand that. Yet Jesus looks at Philip and the rest of his disciples and says, "Listen to me, listen to me. You will do what I have been doing if you only have faith in me." Actually, because I'm going to the Father, you can do even greater things than I have done. Whew. We're going to delve into those scriptures this morning and see their relevance to us, what it means to us in the 21st century. Can we really take this scripture and make it our own? Can we not only make it our own as a belief system, but can we make it our own as a practice system? For James says that if we're only hearers of the word and not doers, then we're kind of missing the point. So this morning, we will begin anew, afresh, to practice something that we know and we aspire to and give a mental assent to, but we may not be walking in that miraculous power yet. The supernatural is normative for the 21st century believer. Jesus said, as he was addressing Philip's concern, he said, if you don't believe me on the account of the words I've been sharing, of the teachings I've been teaching you for the last 3 years, you know what, Philip? I think I somewhat built credibility with you on the supernatural end of things. On the basis of the miracles that you have seen, I'm telling you today, on that basis, on that evidence, believe me when I say that the Father is in me. Do you know what Jesus is actually saying by saying that? He's saying the miracles are the evidence of the indwelling of the divine within human form. I'll say it one more time if you want to jot it down, because this is an empowering statement that I'd like for all of us to take a hold of. Jesus said, if you don't believe me on any other evidence, believe me on the evidence of the miracles, because the miracles are the evidence of the indwelling of the divine within human form. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, yet being fully human, his contemporaries perceived him as one of them. He walked like them. He talked like them. Actually, he talked in not the best accent and dialect that was at that time. He was from the region of Galilee. He spoke most likely Aramaic. That wasn't aspired to. He had an accent kind of similar like mine, so I feel in a good company. Watch if you have anything to say about my accent now. So Jesus, in a very simple, kind of a peasant-like dialect, was teaching his disciples, and anybody that was willing to follow. But let me tell you, when you look that plain, when you dress just like everybody else dresses, and you don't hold necessarily several titles to impress people, why on earth would they think you have in with heaven? What was the credibility that was going to build Jesus' character? Because remember the case when Jesus was telling a sinner that his sins are forgiven, and they said, whoa, how are you going to do that? You're blaspheming, because only God can forgive sins. Really, forgiving of sins is the greatest miracle ever. But we as humans do not see that as the greatest miracle. And by the way, I aspire to see us grow by true conversions. By people that are going to walk from the streets, come here and feel the conviction, yet the love of Jesus Christ, and their lives are going to be changed. And we will grow exponentially because of conversions, because this is the most supernatural power displayed in human life. Wiping the sin, wiping the slate totally clean, and then writing on it, not guilty. Giving them, casting a white stone and saying, I do not judge you. We're going to be given a new stone. The white stone. Remember in Revelations where we're going to be given a new name written on a stone. Do you know what that means? In first century Christianity, that meant to them, they all understood what that means. If somebody casts a black stone, it means you're guilty. But if somebody gave you, cast it as you were judged, a white stone, they found you not guilty. So we are all going to be given a white stone as saying not guilty. This is the most supernatural miracle that we have already experienced, most of us in this room. But there are many of them outside of this room that have not experienced that. So my heart breaks out for them. And I know your heart breaks out for them. And I have an anticipation to see droves of those that are hopeless, helpless, desperate, that would find the presence of God as they enter those doors, and Jesus is going to cast the white stone and write their name, not guilty. For he is the righteous judge who stood in our place to take all of our sin, take it away, and wash us totally white. So this is the greatest miracle. This is the greatest supernatural miracle. But let me tell you, his contemporaries didn't quite understand. So then he said, oh, isn't that just as easy to say to somebody, be healed? Take up your mat. Stretch your hand out. Your withered hand can now move. Your legs that couldn't walk now can walk. It's just as easy, Jesus said. For me, it is just as easy. But for you, since you are confined to physical sight and only what you perceive as supernatural coming through the natural, okay, I'll honor that and I will perform in your sight miracles that you, 100% physical beings, humans, would recognize that do not come natural to a flesh and blood person. You cannot naturally command somebody, you in that wheelchair, get up and walk. Throw that wheelchair. No, you don't do those things in the natural. They're in the supernatural, but they're just as easy for God to perform as he would perform the washing of sins and the cleansing of heart. But Jesus said, because you wouldn't believe the supernatural that happens in the heart, because that's invisible, it happens behind closed doors, I will also perform visible miracles among you. He said, Philip, how come you've been with me for a while now? You have seen what I perform among you, and you're saying, I haven't seen the Father. Let me tell you, I do not speak out of my own. Whatever I hear, I speak. But that you would know that I move in the supernatural, I want to inform you now that I speak the supernatural and I perform the supernatural. So, Philip, if you don't want to believe me on the words I've shared with you, at least believe me on the evidence of those supernatural miracles that have no doubt that they happened among you. Can anybody doubt all of the demon-possessed that came and screeching and yelling and the demons were throwing them in the fire and he casted those out and came out and now the person is sane and the person that was in the among the tombs and was cutting himself and then Jesus healed that person? I mean, can anybody doubt that that was a supernatural miracle? So it was out there in the sight for everybody to see, to convince the ones that didn't have a spiritual attuneness, a spiritual clarity. Those people needed to see that they may believe. He said, believe me on who I am on the basis of the evidence of the miraculous. Because the evidence of the miraculous testifies to the world that the divine power now resides in a human form. The divine power now resides in a human form. Just want to ask you, where are you on that journey with the Lord? Those of you that truly have faith in God for salvation, and you have experienced His miracle in transforming you from a sinner, from a guilty one, to a non-guilty one, I'm just asking you, that same person, do you believe that the divine resides in you, that you may evidence the divine indwelling in you to this world around you? It's a serious question that begs a very serious, reflective answer. You have been called from darkness into light. You have been transformed, and you have been indwelled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, as I go, I will send you a counselor. I will not leave you alone. I will send a counselor to you that's not only going to be with you, because, by the way, the Holy Spirit at all times tugs on your heart. There might be people right now in this setting that are hearing my voice and not quite given your heart to the Lord yet. You know, the Holy Spirit is tugging on you, but you're not quite there yet. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. He walks with you. He works around you. He's tugging on your heart. He's working on your heart that it may respond. But as you respond to the call of God, and as you accept His salvation in you, then He has provided a counselor, a comforter, He calls, the Spirit of Truth, He calls Him, that actually comes and indwells you through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That Spirit indwells you, and now you have a divine person living within you. Now that is as mysterious as trying to explain the Trinity. How God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit is one God. They're not three gods, they're one God. That's why we call Him a triune God. But it is just as mysterious to explain that as to how we, as physical human beings, as filthy as we were, as sinful as we inclined to be, He can come cleanse us. Wow. Purify us in the way that only He can. Wipe the slate clean and begin to write the new name that carries the supernatural evidence in us. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit that He has given as a token, as an earnest money down, as an adoptive voice that cries out, Abba, Father. This Holy Spirit, as He resides in us, He wants to be evidenced on the outside of you and me through miraculous, through a supernatural that's going to break into human history today and now. I'll tell you this. We will not win this community or out there that is all after spirituality and has all kinds of teachers after their own hearts, and they hear things that tickle their ears, and they really like to gather around such people. They're on TV, they have their own shows, you can find them on the internet, you can find all kinds of books to read like that. We will not win those people by more crafty speeches, by more wisdom, earthly wisdom that we can bring, by more reflective thinking that we can add to them. We cannot win them with apologetics, because we are not in the modern society and way of thinking. We're in the postmodern now. We do not value as much reason as we value experience. But you know what? God has never been stumped by a new era, by a new epoch. He actually crafted and coordinates it with His will, because right now, as we are walking on the scene of postmodernity, people that exist outside, that walk this life, their greatest desire is to experience. And you know what? Jesus said to Philip, if you were not won by my logics, by my apologetics, by the words that have come out, although they're not my own, they're my Father's. If you were not won by my wisdom of words that came out, by my comprehension of things in history, Philip, are you not going to be won out by the miraculous that you see, by the supernatural, by the evidence of the supernatural in my life? Because who else could perform that but one God? The God of the universe who created us to follow particular physical laws can break into history and say the law of nature can be suspended for a second until I intervene and I declare that a different outcome will come. And by the way, this is what a supernatural work is. It is when the laws of nature, it is when the laws of the natural get suspended for a second, for two. And God comes in and says, I decree that something else and not the natural law will take place. I decree that although the doctors told you only have 2 months to live, I'm telling you, you would get up, get your mat, and you will walk, and you will be healthy, and there isn't going to be anything that's going to hinder my healing. This is what a supernatural is, when the natural is suspended and overridden by the supernatural decree of God. And this particular supernatural work is an evidence that the divine resides in the human being. And this is what Jesus said. Philip, not only you, although you're still kind of teetering on, I'm not quite sure who you are. Not only you, but anybody that has faith in me would be able to call upon my name. Would be able to call upon my name on behalf of whatever you need intervention for. And as you call on my name, I have been given authority. And do you know what authority I have been given on? In John chapter 17, it says, it is verse 1 to 3. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, for you, Father, granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So Jesus said, if you have faith in me, and you call upon my name, what does that mean? You call upon the authority of Jesus Christ, who has been given authority to administer salvation, eternal life upon humanity. As people look up to him, he has been given authority to break into human history, to suspend natural events, and to break the supernatural so it can evidence the existence of a supernatural God who loves us so that he is after our eternal soul. Because the soul has a beginning but no end. And as you end this life here, the big question is, did you get to know God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son? Because if you haven't gotten to know them on this earth, entering the other existence of heaven is not going to help you. This is not the time to get to know God. Because right now, you're experiencing God as a supernatural, miracular breaker in human history person. One that has all mercy and has suspended the judgment for a time. But when you walk into eternity, you finish this life here. And you enter life in heaven, then you would encounter God as a righteous judge who would look at your life and would see that you give an account for every day that you have spent on this earth and how you have administered the grace of God towards you. For God so loved the world, John 3:16 says, that He gave His only begotten Son, that no one will perish, none whatsoever. He was given the authority to administer eternal life. This is the glory that the Father wanted to glorify the Son into, giving Him the authority to administer eternal life. So He sent His Son with that authority so that none should perish but have eternal life. And all of us here sitting in this hour on Sunday morning, in this community of California, Maryland, we have encountered the merciful God who actually suspended time for a second, came into our lives and said, I will cast a white stone on which I'm giving them a new name written in my book of life. And it says, not guilty. But as I'm saying not guilty, I'm also expecting them to act upon the freedom and the supernatural activity that I'm ushering into their lives. Because as soon as I invade their life, as soon as I indwell them, they become the same evidence as my Son, Jesus Christ, who now is not a historical figure anymore. He has ascended and is sitting at the right-hand side of God the Father. But the Son, Jesus Christ, left you and me here as His representative to put the Father on display. And the only way we can evidence the Father is by the supernatural that's going to become normative in our congregations. It's going to become normative in Christianity practices. It's going to become normative for lifestyle, because there is no Christian that walks in the natural. We walk in the supernatural reality of who God is and who He is in our lives. For He has given us the authority to call upon His name. If we have faith in Him, then we can call upon that authority. And we can expect today, not tomorrow, not maybe. Oh yeah, I'm not quite sure. Today, He has indwelled us with His Holy Spirit. We are physical human beings, just like Jesus Christ, that can evidence the divine indwelling a human only by the evidence, the testimony of the miraculous and the supernatural in our lives. How's that for a challenge? How's that for a challenge? And how's that for really building up the faith? Because Jesus didn't put qualifiers out there for His disciples. He didn't say this. Those that have faith in me also must be wholly perfected in their walk with me. They have to have seen many miracles happening in their lifetime. They have to be leaders in their communities, leaders in their Christian environments. They have to be the priest that would walk into the temple. And only that priest can have the access to the supernatural power of God residing in him. No. He didn't put any qualifications on Christ followers as far as the supernatural ability of God to be displayed through them is concerned. The only qualifier He put is, if you have faith in me, ask whatever you want. Ask of me. Ask in my name. The qualifier is not your abilities
The qualifier is Jesus Christ, the person, who now has been given authority. And if you have faith in Him, He didn't say you have to have faith for healing. He didn't say you have to have faith that you can get out of debt. He didn't say your faith really has to be a grand faith when it comes to cancer patients in particular. He didn't say those things. That was not the qualifier. The qualifier was Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you this morning, do you believe in Jesus Christ? And if you do, you're totally qualified to see the supernatural happen today, here among us this morning. Because it is not in my hand. It is not in your hand. It is not in your faith for healing, your faith for financial deliverance. It is your faith in Jesus Christ. I know that faith comes from hearing. And the Lord has laid this message on my heart that you may be encouraged that He sees you qualified to begin to perform supernatural miracles that would begin to flow through you just because you believe on Him, just because you have faith in Him. You're totally and fully qualified to see the supernatural become normative for your life. I want to read in Hebrews 11, verse 1, the definition of faith. And it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And I want to insert Jesus Christ and our faith in Him there. Now my faith is being sure of the capabilities and qualifications of Jesus Christ. And for that reason, I hope for healing this morning. Now, I'm certain in the credibility of who Jesus is, and if He gave me His word, that as I call upon His name, then I can ask whatever He has stirred my heart to ask for, and it's going to be given unto me, for all authorities has been given to Jesus already. So I'm certain in that Jesus that although I do not see the financial breakthrough I need, He would usher it in. He would usher it in. I'm that certain. I'm that certain. And I'm not sure that as He promised, as He has been given all authority to administer the supernatural expression of God, the maker of the universe, the maker of time, the maker of natural laws, the maker of physical body, the maker of wealth. As Jesus Christ has been given the administration to supply eternal life to everyone who wishes to enter in. Now I have total confidence that as I pray to that God in faith, that I will see the supernatural. That I would see the supernatural. As I'm getting ready to finish, and I was preparing for this sermon, the Lord stirred my heart to offer to you, to make it available, that if any of you are sick among us, as James chapter 5 says, then we can call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and elders can anoint you with oil. And the prayer that is offered in faith, in fervency, that type of prayer will see the result the evidence, the miracle of the supernatural. So I want to let you know that that would be available to you as we would enter into some time of prayer right now around the altars. I came with an expectation today that the supernatural power of God will be evident and will be certain among us this morning. That was my anticipation. And then, of course, I saw the forecast of snow and I said, oh, Lord. I was expecting, you know, testimonies and miracles to begin to jump off the chairs, and here you are sending us snow. To me, this is an evidence that God transcends any natural circumstance. The enemy may try to put us down through irritants, through circumstances that are annoying, that are not comfortable, that would stretch us beyond our comfortable limits. God is not fazed by that. The circumstances do not qualify the miracle. They're not a miracle qualifier. They're not a supernatural event qualifier. Let's say we entered in and there was a fiery service, worship, prayer going on. That is not the qualifier either, although that may positively affect your spiritual health at that point. None of the outward circumstances are a qualifier for the supernatural. The only qualifier for the supernatural is Jesus Christ and the authority that has been given into His hands for administering the salvation purpose of God towards all humanity. And through it, He wants to evidence that He is real, that His sacrifice was not in vain. He's going to intervene. Come here right now. Stop the natural flow of things and infuse His supernatural answer. I want to ask you this morning. I know we all kind of looking at each other and then we're here and we're ready to respond one way or the other. I'm not even going to ask you to close your eyes. We will enter into prayer. But I want to do this for us. Those of you that feel stirred of the Lord to walk in faith and to invite Him to begin His supernatural evidence of His character through us, I'd like for you to stand up right now. You may be having things in your body that may need to be healed. You may be having problems in this world that need to be addressed. But also I'm asking for those that want to be conduit for the supernatural and the miraculous power of God. So those of you that desire Jesus to be able to use you as a conduit for His supernatural power, regardless if you have a need or not this morning, if you want to be used of God for the supernatural and miraculous, come to the front. Father, You have seen our hearts. You have seen the desire that is burning in us, Lord. We want to invite You. We want to ask the Holy Spirit to begin to evidence His indwelling being that is already placed in us. We are praying that this evidence will begin to flow as You have desired for that. Father, I'm praying for all of those that are right now here. that have come as conduit for your supernatural expression. I'm praying for those that are right now here that have come and want you to use them to break into the natural circumstances and begin a supernatural testimony of who you are. I'm praying that you would anoint all of them, that you would anoint their hearts, that you would anoint their desires, and that you would supernaturally infuse them with that faith to trust on you for that miracle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is what I feel stirred to do. And I want you to consider it and see how you would want to proceed with that. But this is a thing instruction that I'm getting from the Lord. I did not prepare the altar call expression. I was expecting for the Lord to manifest himself. What the Lord placed on my heart is this. You have come here as a response to a message that stirs you to believe for the supernatural of the Lord, for His supernatural expression through you, because this is the normative. Anybody that have faith in Jesus Christ would see the supernatural flow out through them onto people. So this is the instruction I got. I'd like for you to just turn to each other and find out what the needs are and begin to pray over those people for healing, for financial breakthrough, for whatever those needs are. Can you please pair in couple threes and begin to pray for each other? I really would like for you to do that. Mary, would you please anoint Gwen? I want to have another invitation. If you can just keep it quiet just for a little bit so people can hear me, and then you can go ahead and pray out loud. I want to give an invitation for those that do not know Christ yet as their personal Savior, that they may come and seek me right here, and I will pray with you to receive that Jesus that we are preaching today as your personal Savior. I will be right here if anybody would like to come for that.
break apart, and then you can head towards the alcoves for your connection groups. I will invite the facilitators now to head towards the alcoves. You know, the rest of you that are around the altar still want to pray, continue to do so.